This episode is brought to you by Subreddit Surfing Live, Saturday, March the 9th, Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester, New York. Get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com. Join Vinny, Cardiff, and producer Jimmy, as well as a whole bunch of special guests. If you miss it, then you miss it. But I wouldn't miss it if I were you. carlsoncomedy.com.
Hey, Vinny.
Yeah, Cardiff?
Do you want to go subreddit surfing? I want to go subreddit surfing. Grab your phone, let's go subreddit surfing. Because I want to go subreddit surfing with you. We talk to folks from different subreddits because sometimes we just don't get it. We explore all kinds of subreddits. Subscribe now or you will regret it. Do you want to go subreddit surfing? I want to go subreddit surfing. Grab your phone, let's go subreddit surfing. Because I want to go subreddit surfing with you. Vinny and Cardiff go subreddit surfing. Mondays at 8, we are subreddit surfing. 10 is too late for subreddit surfing, so be here now for subreddit surfing today.
Aloha, subreddit surfers. Hello, big kahunas. Cardiff, put your tongue away. These are our friends.
That's why my tongue was out, Vinny. I always present my tongue to my friends.
Why?
It's a polite thing to do, Vinny.
In which culture?
All cultures. Present your tongue. Put your best, you've never heard the expression, put your best tongue forward?
Never once.
Oh, you know, it's going to be one of those shows, Vinny.
Folks, please do not tune out immediately. Cardiff is being weird tonight. Either way, we're going to have a fun episode because we have
Despite Jimmy.
Lot of guests line up.
Despite Jimmy, we're going to have a good episode.
Well, Jimmy's here.
But despite him, we'll have a
good Jimmy.
Episode.
Yes,
we're gonna spite you good.
I'm sure you already do.
You know all that hard work you put into finding guests for the show tonight. We're gonna spite you.
Yes,
do a good job with them.
We're gonna get your email added to so many shitty mailing lists because these people are so angry at you for bringing them here. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
You know what? Your mother's gonna start getting phone calls. She'd probably like that though.
Leave my mother alone.
I wish I could. I just can't quit her.
She's so sweet. So hello everybody watching in the chat. Tonight we are going to be surfing r/alien abductions. We have, I believe, three guests lined up tonight to talk about their experiences. I'm very excited for this. So until they get here, I want to take a second and talk about our live show that's coming up in 2 weeks, Carter.
Yeah, I was going to interrupt you because we need to talk about the live show, Vinny.
Well, look at me being a good host and taking
it
there all the way around.
86 episodes in, but finally we got you there. When is the live show, Vinny Paulino?
It is March 9th, Cardiff. And what's going to happen is going to be a delight on the stage. We have been working on our the categories and the subreddits we're going to cover, how we're going to be doing it all. And it is all coming together nicely.
I even showed up to a meeting.
You did. And you weren't the potato. I know somebody who's going to be very jealous.
Very, very jealous.
Very jealous.
Where can we get tickets, Vinny?
CarlsonComedy.com. I'll tell you who's going to be there. Our pal Croge is going to be there.
No way.
Right? Yeah. The All Apologies podcast is going to be there.
Amazing. And it's one of my favorites.
On their show, they're bringing in their special guests.
Who?
Carl and producer Chris.
Frosted Tips himself.
Tips. And the better half of WATP, the real host, producer Chris. They'll be there. And then not only that, on our show, I think Brian McBride might be showing up. I think Tommy Bechtold might be showing up. I'm thinking we might even have a couple other surprise guests.
Jimmy Handjobs.
Jimmy and producer Jimmy. We'll let you use an orifice of your choice.
Yes.
And if you get a ticket, not only are you going to get a subreddit surfing poster, you're getting laid.
That's right. And we're going to put flowers around your neck.
Everybody's getting laid by Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Jimmy will be laying every member of the audience at the door.
You're the best, Jimmy.
You're a great guy, Jim. We love you.
I don't even know why we pay you. You just get rewarded in so many other ways. Look at the praise you get on a regular basis. And yes, Stoneman 623, there will be posters. But that's not the only big news we have right now, Vinny.
What else do we got, Cardiff?
The other big news is you're broadcasting from Studio B tonight.
I am. Why is that big news?
Well, I just want to warn the audience that we might get interrupted every once in a while. If just say there was a pizza getting delivered. I want them to expect some disruptions in the show today. Anytime.
Vinny, pizza.
Oh, what was that?
Vinny, pizza.
Oh, Vinny, your wife is calling you with a pizza.
That is not my wife, Cardiff.
Sounds
my
like
my very real wife, who's a real person, who's not imaginary, that I met in Niagara Falls. That's very not nice. Her.
That's well, not her. Anyway, hopefully we don't get interrupted. Pizza call. Too many.
Josh from Jersey calls it Studio Diabetes.
Diabetes.
Pretty good. Diabetes.
Diabetes.
So, folks, thank you for joining us tonight for the show. Please remember, you can become a member of this channel if you'd like to. You get some fun emojis you can use in the chat. Chats are always appreciated, not expected. So if you throw us some cash tonight, we will gladly pick it up and we will play our little hearts out for you. And we should have a good one. Let's start off with our first super chat. Simon 3, thanks for the down 99. Hey, Cardiff, do you have a potato mask for March 9th?
I've done how many live appearances now? I've appeared as Michael Myers.
Yep.
I've appeared as Spider-Man. I've appeared as a different colored Spider-Man. And then I believe I appeared the last time in my Mr. Potato Head painted Jason mask. So I've had a few gimmicks. I do obviously this potato gimmick online, but I've had a few gimmicks for live shows in the past. All of those gimmicks you've seen can go fuck themselves in the ass when you see what I'm walking out in March the 9th. This thing is unbelievable. Now, I hope I don't overpromote it and then it gets destroyed in a fire the night before and I show up in the Spider-Man mask and everyone's like, what the fuck, Cardiff? But this, our pal is working on it. I don't think we want to even divulge that at this moment. But
on it. I'll give him the credit because.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was a secret.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's not a secret, but. Man, when we unveil this thing, it's unreal. It's going to be either nightmare fuel or the coolest thing you've ever seen. But it's my man, Lockie McDonald, Dr. Omega Tattoo on Instagram. Dude is super talented. I'm going to say it right now. He has gone above and beyond.
It's insane to make this show amazing.
Yeah, it is going to be a Stormtrooper helmet that has glitter all over it.
No, Vinny, that's what I'm wearing to bed that night with you.
Oh, no, thank you.
As we roll around and all the money we're going to make March the 9th. Grift.
Grift, oh. Grift, 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 grift. Connor Kinnear, Shockmaster, that's hysterical. Do you know who the Shockmaster is, Cardiff?
No. Is that a wrestler?
I'm going to show you a video just for the funds of it because we're waiting for our guests.
Is it a wrestler?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so maybe I do know, but...
Yes.
You never see the Shockmaster?
Nah.
You've never seen it, Jimmy?
He didn't last long.
I've given a Shockmaster in my life.
I've seen it.
Hold on a second.
I can't believe it took this many episodes to get wrestling on subreddit surfing.
Oh, you know, I got to get Colin Delaney in. I found a web a subreddit that's dedicated to wrestling fails.
Really?
Fuck ups and stuff. That would be very fun, I think.
I think that would be. Good. What do we got, Vinny?
Hold on. I'm getting there. I'm doing everybody a favor and fast forwarding through all the bullshit because it takes too long to get to it. Okay. So here's what's happening.
So we got the Bulldogs. We got Sting. We got Kurt Hennig. No.
And this is going to be Cardiff on March 9th.
Ha
The fuck? I've never seen that.
That was live on television in Cardiff.
Holy shit.
He's like stumbling through his fucking monologue.
Which will obviously, you're not playing on purpose, right?
Look at young Booker T right there.
You're not playing the audio on purpose, right?
Oh, you're not hearing the audio?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know if that was good. On purpose because WWE will flag us.
Yeah, we're getting rid of it. We're getting out of that. But so Ole Anderson is backstage doing the voice of the Shockmaster. So Sid's yelling at him, I'm not scared of you. And they just had to keep going, even though he fell through the thing like a buffoon and the stupid stormtrooper helmet with glitter on it fell off.
That's crazy. But enough of our live show, Vinny. Let's introduce the subreddit. But it's going to be amazing. It is going to be amazing. And what Lockie is making is amazing. But we have a guest waiting backstage.
Yes.
We are going to get to very quickly, my friend.
Yep. Forbidden Snacky will be on in just a second. But I want to take just a moment to read the info on the subreddit that were picked tonight. r/alienabductions. There are 20,000 members. Currently, there are only 3 online. Now, the description is alien abduction. People are being taken against their will by unknown extraterrestrial forces conducting cruel and unethical experimentation and mental manipulation activities upon them. We must stand together and denounce the presence of this subtle invasion and its covert agenda. Its nefarious activities must be brought to light and openly challenged. This sub is dedicated for those who would share their perceived or suspected experiences with others in a well-moderated, safe, and objective environment. And that's what we gained and plan to do here tonight by listening to some folks' stories who firsthand have experiences. So I'd like to welcome to the show Forbidden Snackies. Why won't they pop in? Huh.
Oh, their mic or camera's not.
What happened?
Their mic.
Yeah. Hey, Forbidden Snackies, you need to turn your mic on before I can connect you. Oh, there he goes. Well, either way, this is a serious subject. A lot of people believe that they have been, and we've heard the stories, taken, brought aboard a ship, experimented on, and that is the stuff of nightmares. You know, they've made horror movies about this, and I don't know what to say, Cardiff. We all want to believe that it's all fake, but who knows?
Do we? I mean, I think a lot of people want to believe that it's real. Not necessarily the probing and the abductions, but that there's other life out there. I think a lot of people, like, I was surprised that this subreddit was as small as it is, considering it's, you know, the UFO subreddit is huge. I thought there would be more people that had interaction in this way with aliens. It seemed like it was an epidemic in the 90s. It was happening all the time.
Here's my thoughts on this. We've covered UFOs before on this show, and we had a line of people out the door waiting to talk to us about UFOs.
We solved UFOs and, on that episode. Go check it out.
Yes. We solved UFOs. They're out there. But those people say they saw it. It's different to say, hey, I saw something in the sky, than to say, hey, I was taken in the night and experimented on by creatures from other planets. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of thing to admit to people.
Yeah, but I mean, like I say, in the 90s, it seemed like it was something that people were more than, like, it was this talk shows all the time. People, you know, calling in radio stations saying they got abducted. But now when we have the internet to propagate it, it seems like it's dried up. Like, they stopped fucking around. It's like, oh shit, the internet's here. We got to stop fucking with these people.
I'd ask the question that maybe the aliens, at what point did they get enough information that they would just move on and stop experimenting on people? You know what I mean? Like, how many people do you need to, you know, scan or whatever it is that they're doing to them before you figure out what you need to figure out?
The fuck? We're still putting makeup on hamsters to see if it's going to give people rashes. They're just fucking with us. We're just hamsters testing their lip gloss now.
Is that what you think this is? We're going to test.
We're just animal. We're just a hamster doesn't know he's a hamster, does he? He just knows something comes out of the sky and puts him in a cage. Maybe we're just hamsters in a wheel, Vinny. Think about that.
I'm thinking about it, and you're probably right. You're probably correct.
Like I said, a fish, it's the old joke, a fish just sees food show up and bites it, doesn't realize he's going to get sucked into a different universe, like a black hole, into a bucket where somebody's going to eat him. I mean, you're not going to eat him, obviously, because...
Vinny, pizza!
Oh, pizza's here, Vinny.
You're a real prick sometimes, Cardiff.
Just when you thought we were having a real show, huh?
Cardiff, I like your thoughts on this because, honestly, I didn't know what to make of it. And you make a good point. It could very well be just we're animals to them. A lot of us always kind of assume that they think of us kind of on the same level. I mean, for the love of God, we've been to the moon, maybe.
Maybe. That's an upcoming episode. Allegedly.
Maybe.
All right. Forbidden Snacky is back. Hello, right. Forbidden Snacky. Good evening.
Hello. I'm so sorry about the technical difficulty, guys. Sorry. It's a new site for me.
Not a problem. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem.
Have you had an experience with an alien abduction, Forbidden Snacky?
Several.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
The first one.
Well, the first one, and goodness, this is going to be kind of a little bit of an explanation. So I can remember experiences going pretty far back in my memory. But the beings that I've met, they actually have shared memories with me before that are theirs. So like they'll show me a memory of theirs and I can see it from their perspective. So I remember one time I was thinking, I was like, what's like the earliest experience I've had with these beings? And this was in the presence of a being, and they were like, oh, I remember. And they shared a memory with me, and it was them looking down at my parents at night, and my mom was holding a baby, and the ET at the same time explained to me, you were the baby in your mom's arms. You were a newborn. And so that was pretty shocking at the time, because I was like, wait, really? Like, you're telling me, like, I spawned in, and you're already there? Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I got a big question. I got a big question because it sounds like what you're saying is that these creatures or these beings, do you call them ETs? Is that the proper term?
Probably. Yeah, I would say that works for most of them.
We don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go with ETs. I mean, I just want to make sure we're speaking the same lingo.
That's right.
So these ETs have been following you your entire life on Earth.
Yeah. It's not just me, because I've asked them before. I'm like, I'm really like not special. Like, why do you keep showing up? And they'd be like, you are, but also you're like not the only person who's special. And they've told me a few times that they've actually been following people in my family. So like the main reason that they are involved in my life at all is like genetic things.
Okay. Well, can you enlighten us a little bit more?
Oh, like, yeah.
Can you have more detail what specifically this is? Because If you know the answer to that, this is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. And I will preface this by saying that even though these experiences happened basically over the course of my whole life, for most of it, it was like I was living a double life. Because when I was with them and I was communicating with them, when I was in their presence, I would remember all of my other moments with them. And I would have context for things that had happened in my life because it was them causing things. But whenever I wasn't around them, I couldn't remember anything about being around them. I would forget anything related to them. And if something strange happened, I wouldn't know what caused it. I would just know something strange happened. So going back to the genetic component that they talked about, to be honest, this became a point of contention for me as a teenager with them. And that's when I kind of got more information from them. Because when I was a kid and I would ask them, they would explain it to me in like a really simple term. They'd be like, oh, well, you know, like your family is something special and this is why we keep visiting you, but we, you know, we cherish you. You're significant to us. It's not just what your body is made out of. But then as I got older, they started to explain it with more complexity, which shows that they were like really intelligent because they're like, well, a child's not going to understand this. Let's explain it how a child will understand it. But when I was a teenager and then a young adult, because I had to rehash this with them, they finally got into a lot of detail. And What it boiled down to is that they have this like genetic issue with their own DNA, where like they have a lot of advanced technology, and obviously they're more evolved, sort of ancient creatures compared to us. But because of certain things that have happened in their history, because of certain things they've done to their own DNA, their DNA has started like falling apart in small ways. So if you can imagine, like, I don't know, like a cookie that's made with not enough milk or oil that starts crumbling at the edges. Like they've given me this metaphor before that their DNA is like crumbling at the edges. And I've asked them before, I'm like, okay, like that's concerning, but you know, you're making this huge effort. You literally show up in the middle of the night, you make people forget things, you make people remember things. Like you're doing like, you know, these experiments, you're taking all this data, you're following people over the course of their lives. Like this is a massive project. Like, does that really justify it? But what they told me is that, and they, this is something I need to also like provide for everyone. They're precognitive. Like if I ask you to look down the street and you see like a stoplight, right? And you tell me, oh, there's a stoplight over there. Like that's how commonplace it is for them to perceive the future. Like when I speak to them, sometimes they admit to me that they're surprised by something I said because the most common feature of that conversation was not me bringing it up. So
Interesting.
they've told me the experience. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. So is it, I'm trying to like kind of grasp, is time a non-relative thing to you because every time you're with them, it's like kind of like you're always like you're
In a
with them all the
sense,
times you're with them, like it's all one time is all the times kind of thing.
it kind of is. I should give a little context for that question. It's yes and no because when they meet me in a physical way, time stays kind of relative, where I still experience time linearly, but maybe they don't experience it as linearly. But when I'm interacting with them in a purely psychic way, like let's say like just telepathically, like they're not in front of me, but I'm hearing them, then that's when time starts to stop becoming relative. That's when time starts to kind of like become, how do I explain it? That's
How
when
do you
time starts
explain it?
to have like a multidimensional property to it.
Okay, we're getting like multiverse kind of talk. Okay.
And I'll get back to that, but I do want to tell everyone like why this is all important. So these beings that I speak to, these ETs, they told me that they experience between 3 and 4 timelines of time, on top of like the present they experience. So the way that what I would explain that is like if you were sitting in front of like 4 monitors or 4 televisions, right? And so you're experiencing time in the moment. But let's say one of the monitors shows like your future in like 4 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, right? So the other 3 monitors are showing a variation of that. So you're basically seeing the most possible timelines for like the next 15 minutes. So
Okay.
that's the way that they experience time. They see what's happening and then they see what could happen. Now that's like kind of like how they experience it day to day. And this is important because so for them, you know, time is this kind of fluid thing, time is this kind of like multidimensional thing. And because they understand that, they forecast timelines. So what they do is they have this short-term understanding of the future, and they, with skill and with technology, they extrapolate it much farther. So they could look like 50 years in the future, 100 years in the future. Now they're going to see many timelines because there's many choices that can be made. There's many things that can change one way or another. So what they told me is that a little bit before they started like really interacting with humanity, which they admitted was like almost 100 years ago at this point, they
Okay.
looked into the future of their own civilization and they saw that this tiny crumbling that their DNA was having would blow up into a massive problem and basically wipe most of them out. So they saw that this problem was going to compound into this exponential decay of their DNA and that nothing they would do would be able to prevent that. So they saw like the imminent destruction of their civilization on a genetic
I have a
level.
question. I have a question.
Yes.
When we're talking about the multidimensional properties of time and things like that, I just want to ask you, these ETs, do you believe that they are from another planet or galaxy, or that they are multidimensional and live in time that's layered on top of the time that we're on Earth?
Well, I some of the questions that I've asked, like this particular group that I'm talking about, they've explained to me that we actually experience time in a unique way because we're on a spinning object, and that if we lived in a ship away from like orbit or gravity of any large bodies, that time would already be in a different kind of flow. So I think in that sense, they already do exist in a different kind of time because we're subject to time as we experience it on a planet.
I guess, do they live, I guess maybe what Vinny's asked, do they live on a planet somewhere? Or are they just in...
This particular group, they told me that they used to have a homeworld, and that technically there's a constellation that you could say that homeworld is at. But they said that a pretty long time ago in their history, they got attacked by like a kind of alliance of different ETs. Like their entire planet got attacked at the same time. And they said that even though they escaped, like they survived, the planet was destroyed and they lost most of their genetic diversity at that point.
What
so
did
at that
they call
point,
themselves?
Let's see. To be honest, for most of my life, I've always just been calling them the Greys because that's what they look like, the Greys.
They look like the Grey. So that's what you're saying. They look like two of the Grey that the Greys we would see and depicted all over the subreddit. Okay.
Basically, they're tall though. They're not the 3 or 4 foot ones. They're more like 6, 7 feet tall.
So you were saying that they wanted to restart a new civilization. They wanted to like they knew their civilization was doomed. Why are they coming to us?
So they're coming to us, and this is something they have told me even when I was a kid. But they explained it in simple terms as a kid. They told me that in humanity's history, at the beginning of what we could describe as humanity, there were actually several civilizations that were participating, and it was kind of like a time capsule slash genetic experiment. They told me that there were a couple of groups that had come to Earth, and they were like, hey, this planet is fostering life. It could have an intelligent civilization here. We could jumpstart it. And so one of the groups of beings that was kind of talking to all these other groups of beings while working with Earth or in relation to Earth was like, hey, so we're going to make this hybrid race that's native to the planet because it's going to have like DNA from other creatures on the planet. But we want it to be genetically related to us. We want to see what happens when we give like a native creature a jump start from an evolutionary perspective. But they said that they wanted to give humanity kind of like the wealth of DNA that space had to offer at that point. So they asked for a bunch of different civilizations that they were in contact with for DNA to add to the project.
So would that make you a creationist?
It's funny that you say that because technically, yes, even though in any other metric, I would say I definitely don't believe in like narratives like that.
Understood. But I'm just saying, like you're saying that there was an intelligent design to humanity.
That's true. That's true. And that's something that I buy into at this point, mainly because like it's something I've been told my whole life. And every time I try to argue with them about it, they're like, do you want us to pull up the records? Like, do you want to read it yourself? And I'm like, no, I don't want to read it.
Yes. Yes. Pull them up. Get the paperwork out here. Let's.
Hey,
and can you come read
like
them on
grandpa,
this show, please?
You know, being like, oh, you know, flying monkeys are real. You're like, flying monkeys aren't real. And they're like, I'll pull it out of the basement. I swear to God, I will. You're like, Grandpa, no, put it back. I don't care.
Let me ask you this question. Have you asked, I mean, you're doing these beings, these ETs a favor. You know, they're taking your DNA. They're you're spending a lot of time helping them out with this experiment. You know, and they can see into the future. They ever do you like any solids, like give you lottery numbers or anything like that?
Well, they did warn me about content warning, I guess. There was a distinct time that they warned me that I would be murdered in 3 days.
Was that 2 days ago?
No, sorry. It was years ago. It was during the pandemic. So I had been working during the pandemic. I was an essential worker. And at this point, I'd become kind of comfortable with their presence in my life again, because for a time I was like, ooh, you know what? Grays, definitely evil, not going to mess with that. And if you look at my post, you see at the very beginning of the first post I made, it was basically, oh, I don't want these aliens in my life. Somebody help me. So I'd kind of come past that point, and I was coming around to like interacting with them in a way that I felt comfortable. So they visited my dreams. So I was like getting ready for bed. I hadn't fallen asleep yet. I was just sitting in bed, relaxing. And I feel a psychic presence kind of like entering my mind. And I'm like, oh, who is this? And in my mind's eye, I see three beings enter and they're great. And I'm like, and in my mind's eye, it's like we're all sitting in a room. I'm like, what do y'all want? Like, this is a weird time of night to be hanging out. And I don't remember anything important going on. And they're like, hey, you know, we don't want to bother you. We know you've been working really hard and things are kind of stressful right now. But if you're not careful, you're going to be murdered in 3 days. And the way that you're going to be murdered is that you're going to be out after the sun goes down. There's a serial killer that's watching you right now. And if they see you again, they're going to know how you leave to go home every day. And they're going to murder you because they realize that you're putting yourself in danger. And if you keep that trend, they'll take advantage of it. And I was like, what? And they're like, we don't want to worry you or anything, but this is serious. So take it seriously. And they were like, unless you want to die, but we're letting you know because we don't think you should die.
Did you ask for an intersection at least?
Hey, were you like, hey, can I get a laser or something? Them.
I was like, wait, there's a serial killer? Like, let's catch him. Like, tell me where this is going to happen. I'll get guys in on this. I was like, come on, like, give me some clues. Tell me who this is. Like, I can tell the police. Like, we can set up a sting operation. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, you just told me there's a murderer in my neighborhood and you're not going to let me catch him. And they're like, if you try to overpower him, you're going to die because he's stronger than you and you're overestimating or underestimating what he's capable of. I'm like, yeah, but I could get my friends in on this. Like, we could totally make this a thing where we stop the criminal. And they're like, no. I was like, why no? Like, just because I don't get murdered, everything's okay. And they basically said that serial killers in human society right now are a natural byproduct of the way we live. Like, they basically told me that a serial killer is part of the social ecosystem that we have, and that even though it's bad and we should be preventing it, our society kind of enables that behavior on some level, and that they just don't want me to become a victim of it, but that because it's something that still naturally occurs in our society, it's not their place to stop it in any other circumstance. I'm really angry about that. I was actually upset at them. But I listen to their advice, and I'm not murdered. So,
I'm sorry, Vinny. This goes back to me saying the aliens think we're animals. Like, oh, it's just like a spider. A spider eats an insect, and we just watch it happen. That's a serial killer eating insects that we're doing nothing about.
I do have to agree with that. In a lot of ways, in a lot of times that I've spoken to them, they have admitted and they've used metaphors of like monkeys or other animals when we're speaking, especially about things concerning humanity or human nature. And I, you know, I get mad at them sometimes because I'm like, look, just because we're not like super intelligent, super psychic, super precognitive, like, doesn't mean that we're not like worthy of like, I don't know, respect or like consideration or, you know, like understanding.
I would say, what do you do in your civilization? Do you have serial killers? I mean, do you watch them murder your family or loved ones? I mean, you obviously have an understanding that this is wrong and that it's not good because you're here warning me about it. That's crazy.
It is crazy. But it kind of shows like their morality in a sense. Like, they're not like totally evil. We're going to let the world burn. But for a lot of the grays that I've spoken to, because I've spoken to many at this point, they kind of fall on this area morally and emotionally where they understand humans to the extent of what our needs are, what we pursue, you know, kind of like more generalized outcomes of our lives and our society. But they see that a lot of the emotions we experience and a lot of the most important experiences in our lives are strange to them. That's really abstract for them, even though they're so intelligent. Using a little anecdote, like when I was a kid, there were a couple of stray cats, some of which were my family's cats. So there were stray cats and cats that we owned. And one day I'd heard from a friend that their cat had kittens. And unfortunately, like, some of the kittens had been born dead. And I was recalling all of this while on a ship with these ETs, with these grays. And I was like, it's so sad. Like, it makes me so sad to know that there were kittens who died, that there was life that was unrealized. And it was so sad that it was like making me tear up as I was telling them this. And this was all like telepathically being communicated. And the gray I was talking to was like, yeah, that's a shame. Anyways, we're still doing this though. Like, you're still, you know, working with us right now. And I was like, no. Like, I told you what happened. Like, it's really sad. It's a tragedy. And I was a kid saying this. And the being was like, it is sad. That is a loss of life. But, you know, like, we're still, this is still day to day. Like, this is normal.
Listen, they're just like, listen, this, we let serial killers run loose. Some kittens didn't make it. Okay. I get
dog
it.
Dog people anyway. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, probably
dogs rule. Yeah. Dogs. But what, I guess what's their, you said you were special and your family's yeah. special.
Yeah.
What was special about you that they were drawn to you guys?
They said that the DNA that my family has and the DNA that I've inherited has a much higher compatibility rating with pieces of their genome than like the average person's DNA. Like going back to a little bit what I was talking about, the Greys told me that way back in humanity's inception, as they told me, precursors of the Greys that are now contributed DNA information. So they told me we're kind of like cousins, really, really distantly related cousins. So they came here to Earth and they kind of double checked a couple things before they started like really doing things with human beings, because they're like, this is like the only genetic stock that they have left. You
How
know,
is
because
that possible though, if they're so advanced, like they their own DNA, they don't have figured out.
Well, there's actually other civilizations that have figured it out, and the Greys admitted that to me. But what happens, at least the context that Grey has given me, and the context that other ETs have given me, because I've met other kinds of ETs too, is that like as a civilization gets to a certain advancement, like let's say that they're in space, let's say they colonize different planets, asteroids, whatever, let's say they're even working with other civilizations. At around that point, a civilization has to choose like kind of like how they evolve. Like if you imagine that like there's a skill tree for evolution and there's like 10 branches, like that's what every civilization has to face. And some of those branches are going to be different based on like what kind of creatures they are, like different creatures have different branches. So the Greys kind of admitted to me that they kind of strove for this like very genetic definition of perfection, in the sense they're all technically designer babies and like more or less clones of each other.
That's because what they came up with? The big old dumb eyes and the weird head? Come on.
Well, they weren't controlling for attractiveness. They were controlling for intelligence and survivability. But they told me that they became that way because they lost most of their genetic information, like most of their population was destroyed before they could save them. So with the genome that they had left, they had to start cloning it because there just wasn't enough DNA to keep going unless they all, you know, got horrible health problems and basically died out because they were inbred. So they started cloning themselves. And so they said, unfortunately, because they didn't allow mutations to naturally occur in the genome that they've been using for like 50, 100, maybe 200 years. So they told me, and they didn't know this until somewhat recently, they said that when mutations happen, part of what the mutations do is they make like a DNA structure compatible with the flow of time. And all that really means is that the DNA itself stays in resonance with reality. I don't fully understand that, but that's how they explained it to me. So they said
yeah,
that because I know it's all fucking complicated.
Yeah, I was gonna say that at the beginning. I didn't want to, you know, ruin
yeah,
it for
everybody
you.
Knows that you need the DNA to be in resonance. Come on.
but,
come on.
Yeah.
What do you think we are?
So do but, they visit since your DNA is so valuable, do they visit other members of your family? Is this up your father's line that's the valuable DNA your mother's? Like, is there a...
Oh, it's my mom's. It's definitely mom's. My mom's. Yeah.
Always the mom's.
Yeah. And I'll get into that just a little bit. I just want to finish that thought. They told me that mutations naturally occurred in their clone genome that they were using, but they would like pluck them out every time. They would use gene editing to basically stop that. And they did it so many times that the DNA they have right now is about to completely fall out of resonance with the flow of time, and that's why it's basically about to fall apart, because there's like this physics, this really fine physics like property that DNA has, and they've almost completely destroyed it by accident. And there's other civilizations that are older than the Greys that don't have this problem at all, because they continue to mutate and they allow that to happen.
Isn't that what the Kryptonians were doing in that Superman movie?
Wait, really?
Yeah, they were carving out all their own DNA and everything. and they had big pools of DNA that they would swim into.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I remember that now.
Russell Crowe had to save everybody because he had to get the DNA out of there.
That was honestly a trippy movie scene. I was like, wait. Like, it was surprising to me because I'm like, this is like actually kind of nostalgic. Like, that looks a little bit like a ship I've been in.
I just have
to.
I've never been on a show that said DNA so much and it wasn't dirty.
But
class set it up tonight, everybody.
Yep.
That means we got to save the joke at the end to catch everyone, make them realize it was all a horny joke the whole time.
Language.
We'll get them. So, for Ben Snacky, we have a couple other guests that are hanging out in our guest room. We're going to get to you in a minute there, Fatty Small, so hang tight. But I guess I just wanted to ask you, you've said you saw multiple species. Can you give me a list of the species you've seen?
Let's see. Well, I've seen reptilians before. I saw a tall, white one.
Avians are obviously reptilian.
Yeah. I've met a jellyfish ET, which was pretty awesome. I met a blue avian before. Let's see what else. I've met the short gray
avian, like a bird.
Yeah, it was like a humanoid bird creature. Like they had feathers.
Okay, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question, Forbidden Snacky. Snacky. Does this statement mean anything to you? O quan tangin wa, qua amsa laje wa.
No, I'm sorry.
Damn it. He was lying to us.
He might have been lying to us.
I will admit that all these beings that I'm listing off, because I've only scratched the surface. Even though I've met them, every time I've been communicating with beings, it's all been sort of telepathic. So we weren't speaking English. It's just that I can translate it into English. They're all speaking their own languages, but via the telepathy they broadcast, we're able to understand each other.
So I'm actually curious about that, the telepathy. Mm-hmm. When you are you actually hearing words in English, or are you just understanding
that concept?
It's more so understanding. So there's times where there's like communication error, which is like they're trying to communicate a concept to me, but I don't have a word for that. And when that happens, I get images and I get concepts instead. So like, you know that term AI?
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that term for most of my childhood. So when the grays would take me to an AI, I would be like, oh, this is a computer. That's a person. Like, that's how I understood it.
Okay.
So like there are things that communicate to me, and there's some things that I can't understand sometimes, and they'll try to like explain it to me in smaller terms, but sometimes I just can't comprehend it. Like sometimes they, in a mistaken way, will say something to me that's too complex for my brain to understand. But most of the time, the communication is good.
I have one final question for you, for Ben Snack. You've been such a marvelous guest. I've really appreciated your time this evening. But question is this. You seem to have had very positive experiences for the most part. You've gotten some understanding. You've been able to express questions and get answers. What would you say to the people who are having these experiences that are terrifying? Like, there's people who have these experiences where they're absolutely like horrified by all of it and scared. Is this just different aliens? Like, different ETs? Like, what's happening here?
In some cases, the first thing I want to tell people who are going through all that is that you're not alone. Like, I know that society really ostracizes people who, you know, maybe walk out onto the street and say, aliens broke into my house last night. But like, you know, for some people that is a reality. And for some people that is a horrifying reality that is hard to accept and much, much harder to emotionally process. I've spoken to people who've had just negative ET encounters. Like I've seen quite a few people talking about how reptilians are really horrible to be around. Obviously, they're good reptilians too, but that was a trend.
Is there any truth to the probings?
There is absolutely truth to the probings. I mean, when I was a kid, the grays were like, hey, can we have some of your cells? And I was like, sure. And then as a teenager, I was like, you took my eggs, didn't you? And they're like, yeah, we took your eggs. It's like, you asked me as a toddler for those. And they were like, yeah, and we asked in the way that you would understand. It's like, okay. But I do want to say that not everyone has positive experiences. And I'm lucky enough that I was able to, A, come to a place where I had closure for whatever my experiences were, because I needed that first. And then, like, be able to actually meet with the ETs and, in a sense, have a real discussion. Because I was terrified of them when I started to remember things. I was like, oh, my God, these godlike beings are, like, controlling my life and show up whenever they want, and apparently they're like taking my DNA, and I don't like this at all, and they're really weird, and I can't talk to anyone about them, and they already told me it's gonna not work, but I did it anyways. Now people hate me. And the Greys actually had an intervention with me around that time, which was really funny in hindsight, because they're like, hey, you really hate us and we don't know why. And I'm like, you don't know why. But for some people, you know, they're not that lucky. They have negative experiences. The beings don't care, or the beings really just see them as like some consumable farm animal. And I hope that, you know, the people going through those experiences can get some respect, you know, yeah, some like emotional reciprocation from people who have been in those experiences, even if it's not with ETs. Like, unfortunately, humans treat other humans like barn animals all the time. And, you know, it's horrible situations when that happens. It's horrible for people to even understand that that's happening. Like, that's a horrible thing just to talk about. But there's, you know, there's all these people who've had some kind of ET experience, and they can't even go to support groups. You know, yeah, they can't even post online about their experience without getting some form of like disrespect or ridicule. Go ahead.
Now, Vinny asked one last question. He asked a very, I think, noble question. He was asking, how can we help other people? I have a very selfish question for you. If they have all this knowledge, have they given you the meaning of life? What are we here for? What happens when we die?
Oh, for them, yeah, to harvest our DNA.
Where do we go from here?
Oh, well, I will address the how do we help first. I would say the best way that we can all, in a really broad sense, help each other, is be emotionally open to people. Like, you know, obviously, if someone's had an ET experience, it's a lot to take in. Like, people literally go through like the phases of death, you know, like the denial, the bargaining, the acceptance, like, and that's just because an alien showed up. Like, it is such a hard thing to accept coming from just, you know, normal person life. So honestly, like, support for those people, understanding for those people, because, you know, going through that phase is going to make anyone behave erratically. But yeah, it's also just like, you know, there are so many people who have experiences that are as of yet not understood properly. Like, I'm a transgender person. And when I made that evident, like in some of my posts, people were like, oh man, you're just a liberal that's using aliens to sell your liberal stuff. And I don't want to get political,
like Joe
but like,
Biden.
Exactly. But like, it's the only reason I mentioned it is to show, you know, if there were any other trans people who were having these experiences, they weren't alone in that. It wasn't to prove a point to anyone. And, you know, similarly, there, I think at any phase in human history, there are going to be people who are misunderstood.
Absolutely.
You know,
so,
and a little bit ostracized.
Forbidden Snacky, do you have anything you'd like to plug tonight?
Oh, meaning of life. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. What's
I
the
need
meaning
the
of life?
Here. Before you go, I need the secret.
So the Greys have been, I would say, pretty considerate in that sense, because I've asked them this question at different points in my life. And then when I was a kid, they were like, oh, you know, it's to be happy. But then as I got older, they made it more complex. And their understanding of it is that, in a sense, life, existence, reality is partially like a game, because A, it happens because we want to experience it. So like in the way that you start up a game to play it, like life exists because you want to experience it. But then B, that the experience is the most important part of it. That all these things happen, you know, some are random, some are intentional, some are made to happen. Some will happen no matter how much is made to prevent it from happening. But in the grand scheme of things, everything we experience is exists somewhere inside of us, and we never lose that. Like I kind of asked them in a grander sense, like, oh, what happens to our souls? And they told me, they were like, there's two aspects to existence, life and death. And they said that life is the aspect of existence where we experience things and we lose our sense of self and we gain something new and we take those experiences back with us when we die. They told me the other aspect, death, is about connectedness. It's about, what is it? Resonance and unconditional love. They don't talk about the love too much because they don't understand love as an emotion as well as we do. But they explain that, like,
yeah,
in death, we have, an incredible sense of peace in death. We understand things in a way that we just can't as living creatures. And they told me that everyone finds intrinsic meaning in the death state, not because death is like the end, but because death is half of life. And that in going out to experience things in death, we kind of retreat and we find new understanding. We find new epiphanies. We find new realizations and sort of like new mindsets about existence itself and our place in relation to that. So they kind of said that it's kind of esoteric in a sense.
Yeah. So you asked them the meaning of life. They read you Aerosmith lyrics.
I guess so. I don't actually listen to Aerosmith.
Sounds like an Aerosmith.
There's a hole in my soul and it's been killing me forever.
Life's a journey, not a destination.
What's the great thing from Bill and Ted? Every rose has its thorn.
Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other. All right, Forbidden Snacky, is there anything we can plug for you? Any place people could find you? Do you have a YouTube channel? Anything?
Unfortunately,
like that?
Not yet. Just my Reddit for now. So everyone, if you want to follow Forbidden Snacky on Reddit, I'm going to be making more posts about my experiences because grays aren't the only beings I hang out with. So.
Would you like a weekly show on subreddit surfing?
Yeah. Really?
I think so. We'll talk.
Yeah, sure. I would love that.
All right. Stay in touch with her, Jimmy. We'll figure this out.
20 minutes right. Every week.
Forbidden Snacky. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a lot. We got a lot of information there. Now, let's welcome to the stage, welcome to the show, who just disappeared as I was just going to bring him on.
Well, let's do some super chats. Hopefully he comes back because we're starting to, the chat is on fire. Oh,
Let's start with Jimmy's.
Start at the top. Oh, wait, we did that one already.
Yes.
This is why you should do the super chats, Vinny.
I was. Good. Jimmy's neglected mother. Jimmy, guess who came for a visit? Your old classmate, Trag Coleman, said. He brought me my favorite macaroons. Did you know he runs a bank in Albany? I told him about you and your friend playing TV, too. That's so nice. Oh, like, hi, Jimmy's like, neglected mother.
Hi, Jimmy's neglected. Sounds like Trag is your Lloyd Braun.
He is Lloyd Braun. I see you, though. Oqua Tenjin Wan. Say no more. Thanks for the Canadian $5. What a nice surprise.
No, we're not reading this. No, stop.
Thanks, BJ. Lots of work behind the scenes, I assume. Thank you very much for what you do.
No, Say no more is trolling us. He's too nice. Nobody is this nice to us.
Hey, what's up, Bedabbler? Bedabbler Network, thanks for the $4.99. Oqua Tenjin Wan. Kwamisa Laiki Wan. You stupid motherfuckers.
You stupid motherfuckers. Willie Fistigash.
The Biavians love you. I see you. Know, thanks for the $2. Pest says run. Thanks for the $1.99. Oh, thanks for the $2 Canadian. Do the ETs probe urethras asking for my bud Jim?
So UFO sounding is what O is looking for.
Thanks for the 99 cents super sticker waiver.
Oh no!
Pest reminding us to run now. Run, run now. And hey, look who's back. Thanks for the 10 Canadian dollars. Say no more. Thanks, Jimmy. Hope you three keep doing these shows. It's fun to support good people. Hope you guys feel supported. Not a troll, Cardiff. These shows are great. Thank you, Vinny, Jimmy, and Cardiff.
You're trolling me. Nobody is this nice to me.
Hey, Jimmy's neglected mother's back. Jimmy, she sounds nice. You should ask her to dinner.
You should.
You should send her a nice email.
I'm serious. A 30-minute show every week.
I'd absolutely let her do that. I would love to listen to that. JT, thanks for the dive. Is the first guest going to Subreddit Surfing Live March 9th? I don't know.
Very likely. So get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com.
And last but not least, Josh from Jersey. Fuck, Mary kill, Alf, Jar Jar Binks, Mork from Ork.
This is an interesting question. I think we should.
Everybody's going to marry Mork. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest, welcome Fatty Small. Hi, Fatty. How are you tonight?
I am okay. How are you?
Doing well. Sorry we're running a little bit behind.
We can.
That's okay. No, that was super enlightening.
Yeah, you do appear to have a connection. You do appear to have a bit of a connection issue tonight, so we'll try and communicate. But what's your? I guess you wanted to come on the show and tell us your experience with an abduction. So please go ahead.
Yeah. I wouldn't really call it an abduction. More like an encounter, like an in-call counter. Okay, so it was back in July. This is the second most recent type deal. Back in July, my boyfriend and I were staying at a hotel, and it's pretty late. I'm getting ready to go to bed. He wants to go out for a little bit. So he goes out, comes back. You know, I take a shower, get in bed. And, you know, I'd left the door unlocked because he's coming back. You know, why lock the door and have to get up in the middle of the night? But he gets back about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And as he's walking towards the door, he could have sworn that he heard me, like, unlocking the door. But he gets to the door, and the door is completely locked. He's standing outside for a good almost hour, pounding on the door, window, calling me over and over and over again, trying to get my attention. And all the while, there is movement, talking, sounds like there's, like, 10 people in the room. He thinks I'm in there having a party and locked him out. So he goes down to the front desk, so gets the... Huh?
Were you?
No, I wasn't. Here's the thing. No, I wasn't. Oh, I swear I wasn't.
There was
literally no way I could have had a party. No, this room, there was no other exit besides the door that you come in. So he goes down and explains the situation to the hotel desk clerk, and you know, she gets the tools that are, you know, made for opening the deadbolt, you know, inside the hotel room for when, you know, somebody's in there and they can't open it. And how long did she try for?
At least 20 minutes.
And she tried for about 20 minutes to get the door open. Couldn't get the door open. So this is about 3 hours into this process. They both hear, you know, all the commotion going on inside. And I guess when they have to get the bolt, like the bolt opener, they have to call the police because they usually assume somebody's died in the room. So the police show up. You know, boyfriend in the hotel explains him what's going on, and you know, as soon as he walked, like, I was dead to the world. I did not wake up for hours. But all the while on the outside, they're hearing all this commotion going on inside. And I wake up, and I'm honestly just pissed off that they woke me up. I didn't think anything of it, but you know, come to find out that it had been several hours, and they legitimately thought that I was having a party in there. There was, like I said, the talking, the conversation noises, the movement, all that stuff. And as soon as the police officer walks in, he says, my boyfriend says I did the weirdest thing. He says, I sat straight up, put on my customer service voice, and acted like nothing had ever happened.
Huh.
I don't know.
What did you remember happening in that time?
I'm sorry, could you see? I don't at all. I don't remember anything besides going to bed and being woken up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
you know, and I think the biggest weirdest thing is
Well, I was just gonna ask.
I'm sorry, my connection's kinda shoddy. Could you say it again?
Yeah, it's okay. Can you still hear me? Okay. I guess my question is...
I'm so sorry. Could you say that one more time? My question.
The front desk clerk and your boyfriend both stood at the door listening and hearing noises and people talking. Were they able to make out anything that they were saying at all?
No, they couldn't make out any of it. They just heard the, you know, the shuffling and the chitter and or chatter, whatever you want to call it. And it sounded, I guess, like I'd been moving heavy furniture, just moving heavy furniture, and that there were several people in the room.
Well, we were trying to get in. It sounded like the door was being barricaded.
While they were trying to get in, he said it sounded like the door was being barricaded.
Like there was a lot of commotion, and we pounded for at least, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes banging on the window and the door.
Yeah, just banging and banging. Couldn't get in. No response from me or whatever was in the room. So, and there was absolutely no way that anybody could have gone out of that room. So now
you said that was your second last experience. So you've had a few of these. Were they all similar in like lost time, or do any of them? Did any of them leave you with any memories?
So they're all different. The most recent one was an actual like waking experience. The other ones happen while I'm asleep. But they're all different, but the same. And I can tell the difference between those dreams and the other dreams where I wake up, I'm drenched in sweat and it feels like I've just fallen a million miles. And I wake up completely terrified. And the memory's relatively the same in those ones. And it's just always the same. It's kind of like a process of going from point A to the end point and then back again. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. That's just how I know those dreams are definitely completely different, and they always end with me falling. But the most recent one, we were downtown, and I heard what sounded to be like 10 helicopters. I could have sworn there was a whole army of them flying above us, and there was just one, and I located it, and it was, you know, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of the vehicle. It's dead ahead, and it is going around this like floating light, and the light's just doing all sorts of erratic movements. It's just, you know, it's not staying in one place, and the helicopter is clearly focused on it. I saw that for about 5 minutes and just, you know, watched its behavior, and it was just all over the place very quickly. And then another helicopter joined it, and then it ran away. So naturally, you know, I was curious. I went and tried to figure out, like, you know, what it was. No information. But later that evening, I'd fallen asleep outside, and I kind of wake up and I get my bearings. I realize that I'm in the car, and I look in the passenger mirror. Like, I had this feeling to wake up. I was just this great feeling, like I just had to wake up right now. And I look in the passenger mirror, and as I look in the mirror, there comes that light again, and it's directly behind me, like directly behind the vehicle. Like, it is 20-30 feet behind me, like, and I'm just watching it in the mirror.
I have to ask, I'm sorry, only because you said you fell asleep in the car. Were you on any type? Because you said you fell asleep in the car, were you on any drugs at the time?
No. So it was a long day. I'd worked a double and got back to the house, and I just didn't have the energy to go inside. So I was tired.
No drugs.
No. I was just incredibly tired. I work a lot and I don't sleep because my dreams are terrifying. But I saw, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, wasn't on drugs for this, but I saw this orb, and my boyfriend, when we were driving, also saw the orb when we were downtown. And I just sat there. I just kept staring. I was just mesmerized by it. And it just kept getting closer and closer. And I just had a thought, like, no, thank you. And as soon as I had that thought, it did a whole bunch of crazy movement, and then it literally ran away again. And that was the last one. And yeah, since then, I think it was a terrible time sleeping.
So that's the closest thing you've actually to physically seen something. You've never seen an extraterrestrial or an ET, but you've seen this light.
Yes.
Is okay.
From memory, can't recall one, but that's the thing that I've seen. Yeah.
Can I ask your boyfriend a couple questions? Would he mind jumping on real quick?
Yeah, let me get him for a second. He just went back inside. One second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got questions for this guy. I'd like to know, because like, they're out there outside of a hotel room.
Yeah. Oh, he's not answering.
Oh, okay. I just want to know, like, he's standing outside of the hotel room, what he thought was going on. Because like, if they're going outside and they're banging on the windows and stuff, and I mean, this is really terrifying.
I think he thought I was having a party.
Yeah.
I think that's what he thought, I was having a party. And I just didn't want him to come in. He's coming out here in just a minute. I don't know what he thought. He just kind of recounted to me, in great detail what happened that night. He said it, and the hotel lady, she seriously thought I was dead in there. Like she thought I was dead. Because unfortunately, a lot of people do die in hotel rooms.
He thinks you're having a party. She thinks you're dead. Those are two very different things. Like one, would be silent.
From what they heard.
I'm sorry.
Right. So from what they heard versus what they walked in, what they heard outside of the room versus what they walked in on were two completely different things. I was laying there just completely asleep, like dead asleep.
Yeah.
He had a hard time waking me up, he said. But they just, from everything that they heard going on outside, they could have.
All right. I think we lost. Yeah, yeah. I think we lost Fatty Small. Bummer. I want to know.
We have
what
another
happened.
Guest.
We do have another guest sitting here. I'd like to welcome them to the chat. But Quantum.
Before our guest comes on, Vinny, I think okay. I heard something.
Oh, they made it.
Get out of here, Cardiff.
You go grab that pizza before we bring our next guest on.
All right. Our next guest coming to the stream is Quantum plus Fifth Dimension. Hi, Quantum. How are you tonight?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah. Is my voice okay?
Yep. You sound fine.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to more talk about their technology from what I noticed, because although I had many close encounters, they didn't really like bring me on their spaceship as far as I remember. But I have been paralyzed even while standing upright and hypnotized and that sort of thing. By the way, really scary, because you recall like a flashback of you not being able to breathe as they approach you. And then after that, you start seeing the things that make you think that wasn't your imagination, or you recover a video of you just barely videoing them as they approach you and, not being able to breathe and stuff like that. It's terrifying, But
that does sound terrifying. So hold on one second. I just I'm very interested to hear everything you have to say tonight, but I just want to make sure that we don't jump too far too quick.
Yeah, sure.
You said that you've had multiple encounters.
Now, oh yeah.
How long? Like your whole life? Because our first guest tonight that they were encountered since like an infant. Like mother was holding them as a baby.
Yeah, let me put it this way. They're not very friendly. The first time I saw one, I was like in a time slip sort of thing. So I saw myself like the whole time was different. Like I was standing up, right? Next thing I know, everything got darker and this freaking entity just runs across, and hides. And same day I fractured my wrist. Another time I saw one, it was before I almost died. So they're not very friendly, I'll tell you that much.
Do you think they were trying to hurt you?
Or were they trying to save you?
You know what? I think it's just entertainment for them, really, and they don't care a bunch about us.
Just fucking animals, Vinny.
That's what we've been saying all night. And it's not, I'm not trying to laugh, because it's kind of it's terrifying to think about, but.
And yeah, look at it this way. They have so much technology. They could, they have the medical technology to make us live forever. Instead, they travel to Earth looking at us suffering and then, people dying and stuff. So they don't really care about us.
Do you feel like, same question I asked to our first guest, I don't know if you heard any of it. Do you feel like these ETs are creatures or inhabitants of another planet that traveled here, or are they traveling dimensional?
That's a great question. I'm not sure, but they look like the person before was talking about genetics. Those that I saw, they didn't really like have the the like shape of like an advanced, you know, genetics either, that they were like, they looked like apes, you know, they're walking slightly crouched, the arms were really long, you know, they're really tall, they're like, I don't know, 6 foot tall, but when they walk, you know, they're smaller, they're really wide. So, you know, there's that also. But I mean, some of the technology they use, it's literally time travel plus splitting, you know, branching off into a new universe timeline type of thing. So you see the future, be it they don't really want to show you the future, but all their technology flying around, you know, that often looks like paranormal activity, like dark matter, you know stuff moving and, you know, freezing fans and stuff, and or like a light sphere sort of, you know, actually moving through objects. And, you know, same thing around it. There's like this time dilation going on, and, you know, it flies near like an LED or something that's programmed to change the color at a specific time, and it changes it early and stuff like that. You know, all their technology flying around, there's a bunch of these time slips where you actually get a glimpse of the future. But then when it reverses, it's like a jump back. And then you realize, so like the things you do after that, they could be slightly different, you know, right. So it's not the same timeline anymore. It's, you know, it's, well, no longer, you know, a paradox. It's a different timeline. You saw a would-be future that's no longer going to happen exactly the same, but it predicts it perfectly. You know, if you don't change it, it's going to happen again exactly the same.
So this is really interesting, because this is almost exactly what our first guest was saying, is that these creatures look at time through multiple like lenses at once, and they see what the most probable outcome is going to be.
And probability for sure.
And sometimes it's not right, but you know, 98% of the time, this is what's going to happen. And they have kind of like a sixth sense like that. But
yeah,
you describe, you said
dimension,
that,
but yeah.
You said that these things that you saw had long arms and like kind of walking.
Yeah,
like
there were a few other ones. Yeah. No, they walked on two legs. They were slightly crouched, not much, but their back was sort of leaning forward. So I'm like thinking, how the hell does this thing not, you know, trip over or something? But their arms were like almost touching the ground as they walked. So, and then if they stood upright, they're like 6 feet tall. So, and really wide.
BMHR 1117. So aliens are kind of simps. Only the men get the bad stuff. First girl, they have long conversations. The second girl, they throw a house party. This is all the women, they're treated great.
She,
and you, they're giving a hard time.
If she wants to send me some of the friendly aliens, although it's going to be maybe a little difficult for them to find me, you know, that'd be great. You know, send some of the friendly aliens. Because the one I saw, I mean, they're like, they're going to spy on you, and then they're going to ruin your life at the same time. You know, it's kind of bullshit.
So why are the aliens dealing with you? Why are they interested in you? What do you offer that they need you for?
I don't know. I'm guessing it's entertainment. I'm not really afraid of anything. I mean, my first sort of close encounter, when I fractured my wrist when I was young, I was really young. And, you know, after that, my parents, they won like a lottery system for going from Europe to the United States. And, you know, sort of I got dragged into the United States. But, you know, after that, it's just like every year or something, I see something strange. Like my mother's looking for someone at a graveyard or something. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder where this person is. Next thing in the corner of my eye, this plant pot just moves. I'm looking at it like, what? And I read the freaking thing. It's exactly the person is looking for. There's stuff like that too. But, you know, most of it now, it's, let me just get it straight. Please. They did have metallic objects. They hovered metallic objects, even big ones. There's plenty of, I saw plenty of that. I mean, I videoed plenty of that too. One literally landed in my backyard. But, you know, it was at night, and I have, you know, very garbage iPhone 6s, good luck videoing anything, but it did make some lights, you know, going up, and it was the same lights I videoed previously when it was in the sky, and it got illuminated by another one making those lights. I mean, you can sort of figure that out, but most of their technology, it's like dark matter. You know, you have gravity, very big, but coming from like nowhere, and you just see like things moving around, or you know, time dilation. You know, like a fan freezing or something on you, or you have like that time slip I mentioned, where you see the future, or okay, would be well, future.
May I ask another question? You said that you've seen multiple types of ETs.
Yeah, some were really short. There was smaller than 2 feet. Sort of where I'm getting at here, it's a little difficult for people to accept how they look.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of have to sort of go over the their other technology first before I sort of explain the technology that they
really want to talk about the technology, so please go ahead.
Okay, so first things first, faster than light.
Okay.
Travel velocity is time travel because time dilation. So you know they're taking a shortcut. They're not going to travel 4.5 light years to get here from the nearest other star system than our sun, and probably further. They're gonna time travel there. Gravity dilates time also. What do? They control gravity. So it's easy to understand when you have all this time travel stuff and time slips and these things that look like wormholes from one side or the other, like dark matter. Uh-huh. And the other side, or dark matter would be information from our universe going into theirs, I think. The other side is this light sphere going around where information is traveling from our would-be future into our present. So it's a different timeline now because it's branching off because there's an effect from a different universe. They do have some good technology. I like to think of it
sounds pretty good.
Do they have anything that's better than Ozempic?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's great stuff.
How dare you? How dare you?
My guess with how that works is you have so the universe four-dimensionally time, our timeline, looks at an object that's being dilated in time. Time dilation means, any velocity or gravity the object experiences. We observe their clock ticking less, it's measured fact. So eventually it's going to stop the clock tick rate. We're observing a clock that's not ticking. But the clock looks back at the universe, and within like about zero time, or at least stretched extra time, it sees the universe progressing more because it's an inverse observation. Top of the mountain clock looks at bottom of the mountain clock. The bottom of the mountain clock appears to tick less. Bottom of the mountain clock looks at the top. The top appears to tick more. And then, when you reach the limit of our universe four-dimensionally, you see it stop ticking. It's still moving. Velocity still affects time dilation. But
that's what I've been telling everybody this whole time.
And then have an illusion of time extending into the future, and that's where you have the cause, which then gets brought back when you have the time dilation ending. That's what I'm assuming. And it's a branching off because you have to have conservation of energy for that cause, even though it was an illusion, to then affect our presence. You have the universe branching off. So it's really basically time
creating
travel.
New branches of time.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Wow. I mean, the many worlds interpretation or, whatever you want to consider it, it's still like you're observing your present and changing your present. You're just going into a different universe is present, and you're coming back to your present. So it's not really, even faster than light communication as you have with quantum entanglement, I assume, because it's not between our universe anymore. It's between two. So even though the reaction in quantum entanglement can be faster than the speed of light, which it is, it's not faster than light communication because one particle observes the other entangled particle and vice versa, the other way around, as they're measured into our four-dimensional timeline. They're basically the same, they're entangled here. you know, different, they're observing the future each probably in a fifth dimension. And then they're reacting to that fifth dimension when they exit it, returning back into a fourth.
How are they giving you all this information?
They're not. They're not. After they harmed me, I just looked into physics and figured it out to get back at them, sort of. But
why do you want to get back at them?
Oh, you think me, accepting that they're ruining my life is going to, you know, me not want to retaliate so they don't ruin my life, you know, sort of like that.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously.
They do say education is the greatest revenge.
Yeah, but, you know, after they freaking choke you, basically, during the paralysis, you know, different alien comes around and paralyze you also and then hypnotize you. They use some, I don't know, like green, blue-green light type of thing. And then, you know, I don't remember anything after that. I just, you know, I videoed something.
And all that's just for their entertainment.
Yeah, because I'm not really afraid of anything. I mean, if I saw an alien right now, I'd probably walk like near it and just flick it off, maybe even kick it, you know, because I'm angry at all of them because they're all not sharing their technology with us. You know, if you think they're going to help any human, you're kind of, you know.
So, I mean, what do you make when you hear other people who say that they've had experiences and had these pleasant experiences? Do you think they're lying?
You know what I think it is? What I think it is because I'm not really afraid of this stuff at all. Like, I used to sit around outside. I don't recommend it at night. You know, just watching videos. I really don't recommend it because when I get into how they look, yeah, it's not easy seeing them because I'll explain the technology that they wear. But, it's mostly entertainment. So when they sort of familiarize you with seeing them in a positive way, or you know, they fool you into, you know, further, you know, whatever they plan to do. And since they split the, you know, universes, you know, timelines, you know, if you approach them every time, there's again, you know, oh, here's like 50 other universes where we dissected you in different ways as an experiment for someone learning how to, you know, be a doctor or some garbage. You know, it's really just probably a bad thing to be of any help to them or, you know, get any attention from any alien. That they really are a bad thing.
So they're nefarious. In your opinion, all of their intentions are nefarious.
I think if they wanted a disclosure, which by the way would create a technology rush between all the countries combined together. Sure. I mean, China's probably ahead because they're, you know, investing like 8 times more into quantum physics than the US is. But you know, let's just assume that, you know, whatever. But you know, there would be such a huge technology rush that they wouldn't have a reason to come here anymore. I mean, do you go to a zoo to look at, you know, yourself with the technology? Like, no.
All right, that's the
like
best.
A wildlife
that's a great
type
point.
Of thing. And then the only time people actually do care, even if there are the neutral aliens who don't really care, you know, what happens, they just stay out of it. You know, the only time people really care is if the zoo cages get open or the zoo, you know, stops, you know, they close down the zoo. So it's not like they're going to stop the zoo from happening. It's not like they're going to give the apes, you know, some shotguns or something and teach them how to use them. You know, it's sort of that type of thing. But the medical stuff, I just don't understand. You know, why are they keeping that away from us? Now, the technology that the aliens were, it's because I mentioned how most of their technology, some of it, you know, looks paranormal, you know, like you think paranormal activity, but I think
yeah,
it's probably
said,
like some dark matter object, you know, or, you know, you see like a ball of light, you think of it as like a soul or something flying when it's, you know, probably a white hole, you know, other side of the wormhole or whatever, or at least the information that's coming here. The object isn't quantum superposition of, you know, both universes simultaneously, but, you know, and then a quantum time reverses back into our present, assuming it was a, you know, the white version of it, that made light. And light does make, gravity makes light in extreme conditions. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the universe, yeah. What are they making? They're copying the universe. It's a new timeline. So it's the same thing, you know.
I got you. I just, you know, you're putting out a lot of information, and I want to make sure I'm following you. So what you're saying is things that we think are paranormal are really alien technology. Obviously, oh, yeah. We just don't understand. Okay.
Oh, so, yeah. And usually if you see it, you're going to have a bad thing happen to you soon after, especially the, you know, ones that emit light. but yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, I guess you said that you wanted to explain the technology before you explained what they looked like.
Yeah. Okay. So what they wear, they don't really want to be seen. Obviously, they walk around mostly at night when less people around. They predict the future. But then the ones I saw, even the other ones that I saw, they all wear the same freaking thing. It's like they display their background onto their body. And it's nothing special. I mean, your phone does the same thing. You just open the camera app and your phone is transparent. You know, it's they just face tracking and stuff. But when you do see it, it's going to be when it walks near a light and it's illuminated. It looks like a ghost. You just see the body shape. When there's a light behind it and it walks in front of it, you're often going to see like the light dim, so it looks like a shadow creature. And then when you're looking through like a wide window, where from the outside there would be a glare, you know, you wouldn't really see the inside and wouldn't track your face. What they look like then is if you're looking from above, you look behind them and above them slightly, their background slightly above, and then their sides look like looking through like a glass, like a drinking glass, and it's like curved around. You see a bunch of light going in different directions.
Okay.
So, I mean, they don't really resemble a human at all. They don't even speak like a human. They speak like some death metal vocalist or something, you know, some very, you know.
Genitis?
They don't have vocal cords. I don't know. They don't have really vocal cords. Like, I have a video of, I think, them speaking, because that's sort of how they sound, but in a different language, I guess, because I can't really understand it.
Well, Quantum, I wish we had more time with you tonight, but we are getting close to our 90-minute mark, and we do need to wrap up the show. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I think we're going to have to actually ask you to come back on another episode. I
think
You have
more.
Could you please
say.
Send that video to Jimmy, because that would be amazing. Like, that's
not over.
Have to watch it.
I got on my computer if you want to. I mean, most of the stuff. There's a video I have of my night security camera that I just put up, and then a white light ball just flies across and up to like the size of basketball, because there's a roof, so you can see the size. A car comes, and then like the camera just jumps 5 minutes into the future and then jumps back.
So, do you have this on YouTube or on social media somewhere we can see it?
I need to upload that, but I can.
Oh yeah, definitely upload that. And like I said, we'll be in touch soon. Anything we could promote for you? Anything you want people to go see? Social media?
Not really. I need to change my YouTube thing to not include my name, but, you know, before I start uploading stuff like that.
Perfect. Well, definitely keep us in the loop. But we thank you for joining us tonight, Quantum and Fifth Dimension.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, that's there. You got to combine the two to really figure out what's going on with your technology. Because normally you measure quantum physics fourth dimensionally as it exists. It would be the fifth dimension because you know, quantum states. And then all you see is the quantum magic going on. You think it may be time travel or some stuff like that. So,
of course.
All right, sir. We appreciate you.
I'll stay in touch.
Just one more thing. The quantum physics, it's measured physics. It's not like, you know, they actually check the particles and measure what they are and stuff like that. They put them into these quantum states. All right, that's all. Cool.
Thank you, Quantum.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you. All right. I feel like we learned a lot tonight, Cardiff.
I feel we did, too. Were there any posts you wanted to quickly cram in there before we go, Vinny?
I'm good. My brain hurts.
I just have one.
Okay, go ahead.
But we did get a lot today, so I think we've
one absorbed post. A lot.
But one post that stood out to me, again, it's very very topical. Is it mainly Caucasians claiming to be abductees?
Hmm.
So I guess somebody decided
sounds like it
on Reddit. They're concerned with UFOs wokeness because they're not abducting enough people of color. Let's see. I notice a pattern of the people who say they are star children and have been abducted, yet multiple types of aliens, etc. It's 98% of the time Caucasian people. I'm not speaking on UFO history and UFO sightings, just the people who claim to encounter and interact with aliens. It's almost always certainly Caucasian. Hell, if you watch almost all of the alien shows and documentaries, 99% of the time it's white people. Look at Ancient Aliens. Is there something I'm missing? I find this topic fascinating, and I don't believe most of these people, aliens aren't working with our government. If they were something, someone would have gotten a clear, concise video of them talking, walking, or anything that's real proof. If there's any aliens, it's crazy that it's the beings that created us and only one type, not multiple. It's crazy to think that aliens would go directly to our American or Western governments and not corroborate and not openly interact with people. It's asinine.
No, it's not, though. What Quantum made such a good point. Think about it. If we're like an intergalactic zoo, and that's why all these different aliens are coming and watching, he's right. Why would they want to give us all the technology? Why would they want to interact with us? They just want to see what's going on, baby.
But it does kind of, make sense that they would come to America because we're the best. Yeah. They want to. You don't want to play with the animals at the zoo that are kind of boring and don't have cool stuff.
What, are they going to go to Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, look, they like trees. Isn't that great?
Ooh, they drink out of them.
That one's
Canadians literally drink from trees. Come on, people. But that's it. I just thought that was just a funny title for, you know, I didn't expect to see race being a dividing line in an alien abduction subreddit.
I agree with you. I like what Quantum said, though. I really do think that was a smart point. If this is a zoo, why would you give the zoo all the technology so what you could just go watch a mirror of your own society?
Yes. When you I know there's a John joke in there somewhere, but I'm tired of John today.
Yeah, I got no time for that. Hey, you want to hit some super chats before we get out of here?
Please do.
Okay. We got that one.
Yeah, I'm watching.
I see Uno, thanks for the $1.48.
Thank you.
Jimmy's neglected mother, thank you for the $5. I was once visited by a floating potato looking creature.
They need pizza.
Ooh, I gotta go, guys.
Another one.
James Gardner, thanks for the $9.99. The truth is out there. So are potatoes at Vitty. It's all weird. Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. Thank you for the 10. Gut, thanks for the $2. Cool hat, Vinny. Tell Card if I said hi. Hey, Card, if Gut says hi.
Oh, cool. Tell Gut says I'm still angry at him or her for not saying hi the last time.
Understood.
I'm petty.
Now, Cardiff, before we get out of here, should we say thank you to all of our patrons?
We should, but we won't because we're grifters.
Do the right thing, Cardiff.
To our big kahunas, Bob K, Kinky Loco.
I can't get enough dicks in my butt.
JT, Eugene, the Bichon Freeze, Jimmy the Lip, Steve M, Fred R, Hunter Duke, Hollow Notes, Jervis Tetch, Joni G, Fisker Whisker, Hamad N, David W, Aaron L, Joe, Ken A, Jabone Slocum, Jib Mob, Damian M, Gut, Joel, Joe Sposto, Josh R, Nick R, Cyber Organic, Charlie NYC, John K, Grampy's Champies, Dr. Steve, Mr. Wiggles, Rochi, Carly, Brinkamania, Dylan from Summer, Monty, Gregory K, Victor F, Tyler P, Pony Power 2, Good Hound, Stoneman 623, Derek K, Bjorn Cray, Stinky Town Gang, Steve, Brian, and Kindy. I think I've almost got the list memorized.
Wow. I want to thank you all for supporting the show. We truly appreciate it. Thank you to all of our members.
And Jimmy's neglected mother. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy's neglected mother. We love you the most.
Absolutely.
Unlike your son.
It's
so
much.
We big things are coming together for the live show. There is still an opportunity to get a ticket.
That was is that what that was? I thought it was actually Riley.
His ghost.
Okay. Where can they go to get tickets, Vinny, for the Subreddit Surfing Live show?
CarlsonComedy.com. Just look under tickets, look for Subreddit Surfing Live. And remember, folks, everybody's getting laid. We'll see you at that show.
Oh, should we tell them about the glitch?
Which one?
On the website.
How does that work?
Well, there's that thing where it's when you go to buy a ticket for Subreddit Surfing Live, Somebody changed the keys on Vinny's keyboard. So you actually have to type 7 if you want one ticket.
Right.
And you have to type 9 if you want two tickets. It's because they switched the keys on your keyboard. Somebody was playing a prank. So because of that, if you want two tickets, press 9. You want to enter 9. Don't worry that it says it's charging you for 9 tickets. Don't worry about that. It's all fine. You'll get your money's worth. But yeah, 9 for two tickets, 7 for one ticket. So
yes,
I think it would be hilarious. It would be the most hilarious troll if we could sell out the show and then nobody showed up. And we have to do a show that we took all the money and nobody showed up. And we just hang around drinking beer for 2 hours.
That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
It would be fun.
All right, Cardiff. Thank you for being my co-host for another great episode of Subreddit Surfing. Jimmy, great job this week. For you watching, great job. You really have good taste. You have great taste. And we'll be back next week. Thank you. Good night.
Sit, Eugene, sit. Good dog. Boom.